me how to say ladies and gentlemen in gender neutral terms.
Hey yo, hey yo, hey yo.
Hey, I'm wearing this baseball hat because we're going backwards. We weren't going to do anything this week, Craig. And then something that we're going to talk about in a little bit happened last night. And I was like, well, we should probably record something because I'm excited. We'll get to that in a second. But in other sports news, Craig, I don't know if you know this being black and all, but
Didn't know that.
The Negro Leagues stats have been finally, after, I don't say rectified or recognized, but 3 years ago it was decided perhaps we should count these. And it's been officially finally put in the books that the Negro Leagues stats are integrated with the MLB stats, because I don't know if you know this. Not you, whoever's listening or watching this. The Negro Leagues were around because they weren't allowed to play baseball with white folks.
Yeah.
They started their own league with awesomer names, by the way. The Monarchs? Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
No, we'll play the A's. Anyway, I've seen a lot of not talking about in general on the internet, because I always like to call the internet out because it's kind of stupid, or why it matters and who cares, and he's already in the Hall of Fame, why does it matter? Cut to you, Craig. I'll tell you why it matters.
Yeah.
Because relevant to black folks.
Yeah.
Because you're black.
Because you're black. And it matters to, it not only matters to black folks like me, but it matters to the generations of black folks that came before me that saw these tremendous athletes play in their prime. And you had to go through word of mouth that, yes, Josh Gibson hit a ball this far, or, you know, Buck Leonard stole this many bases in a row without being caught. And we had to rely on that. And what it also means a lot to, Dan, is not just for black folks, but baseball historians and statisticians who took note of these Negro League players that took their stats and recorded them and held them. And they're the ones that championed this cause and tried to get the Negro League players' numbers, which are astonishing, integrated with Major League Baseball. And the folks that do this, the folks that run baseball, the baseball historians and the baseball statisticians, they ain't black. Or at least not a lot of them are. So for the internet community, and I was astonished, Dan, by the number of people who I know for a fact don't give a shit about baseball that had something to say all of a sudden.
Yes. That's awesome. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with, because I'm like, of course.
Yeah. That all of a sudden have, I don't think that's right. That I didn't think a race of human beings not allowed to play America's pastime was right either. But I guess you got to pick it. Well, I just told them, you know, get over it. That's what we've been told for generations. So you'll be okay.
That's, Craig, as the token white guy on this show, technically, that's what makes me laugh again about, well, racist, where it's like, we get over it. I'm like, I mean, you know, get over murdering their families, just get over it.
Yeah,
weighing back and forth, it's not the same. Real quick before you continue, here's front office of the Major League Baseball.
Ooh. There's one, but that comment is for the outcry of the unfairness of this all. And I think the folks that determined this, that have been trying to get this And this has not, this wasn't an overnight thing. This is something that's, and yes, Josh Gibson was in the Hall of Fame because you can't ignore the man's greatness. Just no. Like, just like Buck Leonard is and Satchel Paige is, and the, and a good amount of Negro Leagues players are in the Hall of Fame. But, and what I'm trying to get through to folks, and I haven't had as many dealings with them on the internet as you have, Dan, but the thing is, what this is about is acknowledgement. We don't want we're not trying to get them rewarded or trying to get them. Well, they're already in the Hall of Fame. It's just acknowledge that what these players did, playing the same exact game with the same exact measurements. It was 60 feet 6 inches from the pitcher's mound to the home plate, just like it was in the Negro Leagues. It was 90 feet from home to first, just like it was in the major leagues. Did the same, played the same game.
Can't run that far.
Yeah, but so that's who championed this. So for all the baseball's getting woke folks and the everyone's got to be included people, this has been a 40-year 60-year 40 years was when Josh Gibson was in the Hall of Fame, but 60 plus years of trying to get the Negro League stats integrated into the Major League Baseball record.
I'm gonna get you an adapter. I keep forgetting to send you one. That's my fault.
It's me. That's fine. You're as long as you can hear me.
I can hear you great. I can hear you perfect now. You were great, but now you're perfect. I did the math in my head. It's 77 years since Mr. Gibson passed away.
Yeah,
77. And now, this is why. Here's why it's relevant. 77 years. And now he is nationally not recognized, just acknowledged.
Yes.
Like, even though if you say, like that last Genesis album, just so I don't make it all racial, that's not a Genesis album. I'm pretty sure Genesis' name's on it. Because the two guys that are in the band are the one that formed it. Fuck you. I don't recognize him. Well, if you want to hang your hat on Ty Cobb, congratulations.
Good on you.
Good on you, Ty Cobb, that miserable prick. I knew he was a miserable prick when I was a kid because of Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
And then as you get older, you read about him. Oh, yeah, he is a piece of shit. And then you watch that movie, Tommy Jones, like, oh, he is a piece of shit.
And, you know, and you were talking about baseball Hall of Famers are filled with, you know, some of the most worth. And Ty Cobb was, excuse me, was in jail. And it's like, well, Ty Cobb was in jail in the Hall of Fame. It's like, did anyone know why Ty Cobb was in jail? And the story was, he beat a man half to death because the man, he was already a hated player when he played. But one of the fans yelled at Ty Cobb that he's no better than an N-word. And Ty Cobb went after the man with a bat and beat him half to death. And so that's why he went again. So Ty Cobb was put in jail because someone called him worse than a black man.
Oh, hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's relevant.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Ty Cobb is your barometer.
And you're going to see, you're probably have already seen it, the folks, the Ty Cobb, not Ty Cobb apologists, but it's in print. And he, towards the end of his life, I guess because he knew that he was going to hell, he said he was very complimentary towards a lot of the black players, him even saying that Willie Mays was the only player in today's game, and in the year that he died, was the only player that he would pay to see. And he always thought that the Negro League players should get their just due. Now, again, this is later in his life. Prime Ty Cobb would have nothing to do with this, but as we got, I'm seeing more and more blurbs on the internet of Ty Cobb being complimentary towards black people, towards black players.
See, it's again, okay.
Towards the end of his life.
Just a side note. I was going to say not to be serious for a second, but I'm deadly serious. That's the Philadelphia Stars logo.
Yeah.
I need that. That's awesome. I do too.
Yeah. They one of my favorite my you said they had better names. Was the New York Elite Giants. That was their name. They were better than the Giants. So they were the New York Elite Giants. So you had Elite in the and the Giants on underneath. And I always thought that was a cool.
I like the New York Black Yankees.
Yeah.
I like the team, Atlanta Black Crackers.
Yeah. The team that Hank Aaron played for, the last Negro League team in the Negro Leagues, the Indianapolis Clowns.
Load any time. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, Ooh. The Indy Clowns. I think Jim Cornette called them that anyway.
Look at those names.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I still like the Kansas City Monarchs.
I know. I was going to say, you have that one jersey.
Yeah.
But I need that star. I need to immediately search the internet, which will be easy, and get that Philadelphia Stars shirt, because that is amazing. That's spectacular logo.
I've seen a couple at Citizens Bank.
I guess they would now, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Philadelphia Star. I love that we figured this out. On Tuesday, we did an episode on Stadium Journey. We did an episode about minor league baseball logos.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, certain members of the show were like, that's stupid. We can't show them. And now this entire time, I was like, boom, 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 boom. That's what I've been talking about.
Do you remember, I don't know if you, do you remember the Tough Enough episode where Al Snow was the coach and he tried on every single minor league baseball jersey that he owned?
No.
Yeah, he's got a huge collection of minor league jerseys, and he tried them all on at the same time. He looked like
that's funny. Like
Happy Humphrey.
He looks like me. No, that's awesome. I don't remember. I do remember when he met. He made a good segue, by the way. He made Chris Nowinski. Which school did he walk? He said
Harvard.
Oh yeah, he went to Yale to say Yale rules. And what does Harvard do? It sucks. It sucks, Al. That's right.
It sucks, Al. That's right. It does. Yeah, because he lost.
That's he lost. Awesome.
Yeah, he lost. He lost a circle game. I remember that.
Yes, the circle game. That's what it was. Yeah, because you didn't picture him going like this. You prick, dude.
There's been a ton of Negro League merchandise because Spike Lee used to wear them all the time, and because when he
I've seen the regular Diamond P 100 times, I've never in my life seen that logo, and that's amazing.
Yeah. Charles Dutton on the show Rock, he wore a lot of Negro League jerseys on that show.
Am I allowed to wear a hat with that on the back of it? Since I'm so pale.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Is that a faux pas or would that be okay?
No.
Sorry. Since we're still on it, I know there is a website that has significant history of logos, and of course, not. Enough. I would assume a lot of that's lost on most of those teams because of, light phones.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to see if I can get that on a shirt because that's spectacular. But I just needed to get that off my chest because it wasn't just one person. I saw Al way more than I wanted to.
Yeah, well, when I saw it yesterday, I sent it to you immediately because we had talked about Josh Gibson on this show before.
Times.
Yeah, the discussions why he was, since he was so great, why wasn't he picked first and why instead of Jackie Robinson? And it certainly had nothing to do with talent. It had everything to do with temperament. And Jackie was the right choice and the right guy at the right time. And not everyone could do what he did. And I said it. Before, I think I said it on this show, if Josh Gibson had been the first black player in the major leagues, he would have been the last black player in the major leagues because of his temperament. You know,
what'd you call me? Bam.
You know, Jackie Robinson put up with a lot, and you know, the saying was, you know, when Jackie Robinson came up, he was called the N-word, you know, from everyone, you know, his not just the fans, but the opposing ball club and in his teammates. But
yeah,
if Josh, but the thing was, the first person to call Josh Gibson the N-word would have been the last person to call Josh Gibson the N-word. That's just who he was. I told you the story about when he challenged his want to take on his whole team.
You have before, but since we're talking about it, will you regale us one more time with it while I bring up footage of the next thing?
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, now that you know that the all-time major league batting average leader in career batting average leader is Josh Gibson and the greatest slugging slugger in the highs.
His name is Josh Gibson.
The highest career batting average ever in the history of baseball, not major leagues, not major league baseball, period, was Josh Gibson, the highest slugging percentage and the highest single season batting average ever. Belongs to Josh Gibson. And folks saying, well, why wasn't he picked as the first black player in the major league since he's so great? Josh Gibson had a temper and a bad temperament. He was someone that wanted to be left alone. Just wanted to play ball. And why Jackie Robinson was chosen, because he had a fine temperament, modest one. He wasn't going to take shit, but he would also, you know, stand up for himself in a calm manner. Two different stories about the same people. Jackie Robinson was stationed in the Army in California, where he majored in UCLA, and he was on an Army base. He was on an Army bus, an Army base, and a civilian white woman got on and asked him to move, and Jackie said no, because again, this is an Army bus, and he's in an Army, and the civilian woman told him to leave, told him to move his seat. He said no. So Jackie Robinson was forcibly moved off the bus and was court-martialed. Jackie Robinson defended himself in the court-martial about this person, and he won. Didn't raise his voice, didn't choose any violence. He won his own court-martial against a white officer and against a white establishment. Branch Rickey took note of that because he also heard another story about Josh Gibson when he was with the Homestead Grays and they were barnstorming in Negro League. They would drive from, you know, from town to town to play ball. Well, somebody thought it was funny to put some roadkill in Josh's locker. Josh Gibson didn't think it was funny, so he grabbed a bat and walked towards the entrance of the clubhouse so nobody can go in and nobody can go out. And he said loudly, whoever put that in my locker, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. If nobody comes forward.
I'm laughing at the words, not the situation, because yeah. I'm out. At that point, I'm out of there.
If nobody comes forward, he said, I'm beating the shit out of all of you. And the bat that he held in his hand said, that's for you, because I want it to be a fair fight. So that's why Jackie Robinson
on both of the Briscoes with just a chain.
Yeah. So that goes to why Jackie Robinson was taken and not Josh Gibson. Nothing to do with talent, everything to do with temperament. But Josh Gibson's temper notwithstanding, he was and now will forever be the all-time leader in career batting average and the greatest single-season batting average in the history of recorded baseball.
As you just saw on the screen near minutes ago.
Yes.
Did it on purpose a couple days ago if you'd done that. A couple years ago if you'd done that.
Yeah.
Would have been there.
And to further put a point on it about the black players not being allowed to play once they were allowed to play starting in 1947 with here's to you, Mr. Robinson, 11 of the next 13 MVPs in either league were black players. 25 of the next 28 were either black or Hispanic players. So not like we couldn't play, it's just that we weren't allowed to play. And if the reason why we weren't allowed to play is because people, white folks were afraid you'd be showing up, well, then I can understand, but still doesn't make it right.
And you would be.
Yeah.
Most likely. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Hold on.
I'm sorry. I'm not on your side.
I'm sorry, Ava.
I'm sorry. I'm not on your side.
I remember Hank Aaron's quote when he first came up playing for the Indianapolis Clowns. He thought the reason why black people weren't allowed to play with white players because he wasn't good enough. Because Hank Aaron was told as a youth, since he was a little boy, that you're not good enough. You're not good enough to play with us. And once you started playing with white folks, you thought, well, that ain't true. Once he realized he was better than every player he ever played against or with, that kind of went out the window.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. What the hell was I talking about? You guys are better than me? Really?
I don't think so. And then cut 2 years later, him on the Braves, and when he hits that milestone. Yeah. And people just, well, most of the people trying to get to him to embrace him, like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was no doubt.
Yeah, there was no doubt. Not even despite his mind, anyway. Yeah. And despite the Guinness Book of World Records. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most amount of mail ever received by a private citizen. And more than a third of that was hate mail, just because he was going to break the record of a white person. And said, had I been anyone else, I would have been cheered. But, you know, he had to deal with that, with death threats, with that kind of thing. And so much so that his mother was at the fateful day where he broke Babe Ruth's record. And when he got to home plate, she insisted on being right there with him. And she threw her arms around him and said, because she's aware of the death threats too. So it got to her. So when Hank Aaron got to home plate, his mom put his arms around her son and wouldn't let go. Cause she said, if you're going to take my baby, you're going to take me too.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Christ. And that's why. Mm-hmm. That's reason number 4058. It matters. It's just things you don't think about when you're saying these. And just to be fair, not all of them. Yeah, I said them. Fuck you. Do something about it. Pull up. Not all of these folks are doing it out of fucking black. Some people are like, why? I don't get it. Well, here's your education. Reason 4,782. If that doesn't get to you as a son of, you know, someone who has a mother, I don't know what to tell you. Unless you're like Ted Bundy and your mother's kind of stupid. You know, she's out of her fucking mind. Yeah. I don't understand why he was so fucked up.
Yeah, it starts at home.
Took him alive. Huh?
But yes, thank you for the opportunity to talk about it, Dan, for calling this emergency podcast to talk about the Negro Leagues being ingratiated finally into Major League Baseball history.
It went back to something one of my friends said. I'm not calling him out. He said he said the words like, well. And it was not in a combative way. It was it makes no difference to me. I'm like, but it does make a difference to them.
Yes.
That's exactly the point. Mm-hmm. That's exactly the point. That's why. And stories like that.
Yeah.
One more sidebar. Sure. This is only going to be like a minute. We're going to take away the seriousness for a second. It was too late. I was trying to bring up video because I love seeing Hank Aaron just crush that. I mean, he nails that.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that he just got a home run to beat Babe Ruth's record.
It was a no-doubt batter.
Oh, God. I'll see you later. Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League.
Yes, you finished.
Oh boy, did I finish. I just want to get your thoughts on it as well, because I know you played. And I would love for you, if you still have it downloaded, to play with Matt and I one time, because there is so much more to do. And that's what I wanted to say real quick. I wanted your thoughts on my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I want to triple down on this. People say that game sucks. I genuinely, let me say it nicer than I was going to put it, because I was originally going to say, you're out of your fucking minds. I don't know what you're talking about. Let me retract now that I've said it, you, and go, I don't understand what you folks want anymore in a video game in general, folks. Just in case, because we got off the Negro League talk. I'll say it again about Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. What else did you want from that? You spend your days telling us about how the sequel will never capture the spirit of the original Ghostbusters. Well, good. Here's something different. Well, duh. This game, it's Rocksteady. The writing was phenomenal. And there's a point. There's a reason why I'm bringing this up, because there's something I did. I avoided 98% of the spoilers, other than the scene where Batman shows up for the first time in the museum of the Justice League museum. Recapping the Arkham ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just killing cops. Other than that, because I searched that, I'm like, he does what now? and then the next day I was playing it. Oh man, there's so many things I want to support. You kill the Justice League. And in fine fashion, and one of my friends was watching this day when that section of the game happens, when you kill Batman, and there's no spoiler, it's called Kill the Justice League.
Yeah.
Where Harley outsmarts him finally. And people forget literally the discussion my friend and I were having on stream, where she's useless. Why? She's just insane. I'm like, but she's not. That's the point. She's not insane. She's a fucking doctor, dude. She's not stupid. And literally the next week was the scene where she's like, you forget I have a master's in this. Boom. Got him. That story is amazing. And in the end, goes to credits. You get Brainiac. Well, there is an end where you get one of the Brainiacs, but there's 13. There's 12 more. Goes to credits, and it fades back up with Lois Lane reporting about Batman being dead. And what I didn't expect was that little tribute at the end when it faded out and said, thank you, Kevin. And I started crying on stream because I forgot it was that part of the life story where he recorded this. He's gone.
Right.
Batman was underutilized, was misused in this story. The scene between him and Harley, it's like the scene at the end of Zack Snyder's Justice League. Thank you, Craig. You're going the same. When he's looking Joker in the face and says, when I was holding that bitch, and he doesn't say that, when she was dying in my arms and I made a promise, and I will fucking kill you. It was like that. The two of them going at it verbally, and she just blows his fucking head off, and the camera fades away. You expect something else to happen. You know, oh no, he's dead. Look at Batman's dead. I don't know what to say. I don't know what's wrong with that game. I am planning on completing this. You're welcome to join if you have the time, but Matt and I are going to complete this. I loved this game. I say it's my favorite game that's come out this year.
Wow.
I don't care what the flack I take from it, pun intended. That game's amazing. How did you feel playing it?
I enjoyed playing it. And don't wait for me. You guys finish if you can.
Oh, we're not waiting. I'm just saying, if we're on and you're there, please jump on.
Thank you. I enjoyed playing it. I guess it was harder for me because there are so many avenues to explore that I got kind of like overstimulated. Also, I got tired of getting killed all the time, no matter which character I use. Like I'm a Deadshot guy now. I started off as Harley, but now I'm just a Deadshot guy because right. he doesn't miss. But it's getting the correct pressing the correct buttons at the correct time, because to block and to get when they're frozen, or when they're to make them to block their incoming attacks.
Yes, one's hard. Where you do the rebound shot and half the time you miss it anyway. Yeah,
and even just with Harley, just swinging from place to place and just going, you know. And there's so much to explore. I love being in Metropolis and going every. And then I get sidetracked because I want to solve the Riddler issues, and then which mission do I go to next? So I'm like 70% through. I haven't gotten to the end. I did enjoy it. But I guess my frustration overwhelmed me of getting constantly killed and not getting anywhere. So I abandoned that. And now I'm firmly immersed in Oyster Bay for Mafia 2, a game that you already covered.
Great fucking game.
I know. Thanks. Thanks to you, because you're, when you were playing it on your other podcast, and I'm going backwards. I played Mafia 3 first, and then it's like, wait a minute, 3? There's
also amazing.
Yeah, it was.
That whole series is great, man.
Yeah, but it was Memorial Day weekend, you know, and you know, PlayStation's always having a sale, and $9.95 spoke to me, so I've been in Mafia 2.
Jeez, okay. Definitive edition.
Yeah. The definitive edition. I've been in Mafia 2 land for the last 2 weeks. And so I'm on the side. You go ahead.
The mission thing. I just discovered this. This happened live on stream. I just discovered away from the overstimulation. Because, yes, I 100%. If you're on the map, this is not to get you back in. This is not to try to convince you. I just figured out how to make it rational in my mind. Mm-hmm. If you're on the main map and you hit triangle, it brings up a linear list of missions.
Oh, really?
With their icon. Yes. And I was like, oh, good. I can do that one. Okay. That one. And you basically check them off, and it says, and then it unlocks the next one, and you just go to it, and it'll automatically mark it on the map. You just go to that. So I was just futzing around for like 2 hours waiting for videos to render that I was editing today.
Okay.
Just hitting different stuff on the map, because again, I'm completing this fucking game. And then I found a Riddler trophy by accident.
Yeah.
Which was also awesome. Now, the conversation at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you had something else to add.
No. No, thank you.
Absolutely. While we were playing Suicide Squad, unbeknownst to me completely, the WWE... Every time, you know, someone lays a card on the table, Triple H and Shawn go Full House. And the WWE last night, basically without making, I guess with a little fanfare, I guess there's a worky relationship with WWE and TNA, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. Roxanne Perez and... Roxanne Perez was out cutting a promo. Ava comes out and tells her she's going to have a fight at NXT Battleground. Make sure I mute this so I don't get nailed. And the unexpected happened.
Jordynne Grace.
Jordynne Grace is in WWE. Now, if you recall, at the Royal Rumble, when she again just appeared out of nowhere,
right?
She said, "Oh, I'm not done."
Wow.
She retweeted that. Mm-hmm. And there she is. Part of me is like, it's got nothing to do with me, but other part of me is like, it's on record how many times I said, watch, you watch.
Yeah.
She's going to be on TV. You watch. She's going to be on the right TV. And not only are we a couple of years away from TNA and AEW's failed relationship, I will say it. It was a failed relationship.
Yeah.
TNA got nothing out of that.
Mm-hmm.
immediately you throw Jordan Grace on NXT, getting paid six figures for her three appearances or whatever they're going to be, thus raising the worth of TNA again.
Yeah,
getting more faces on Jordan Grace, which needs to happen. And those two are going to be that match is going to be nuts.
Exactly.
It's going to be nuts. These two are going to tear the house down.
They're going to tear the house down.
And again, there's several reasons why I won't watch TNA fully. There are several reasons I do. I tune in, and that's one of them. Well, that's two of them. George Grace in WWE. And you know, even though this is not a full-time contract, this is not over.
No.
And what is Battleground?
I don't know.
I'll look it up as you're talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, but it also opens the door not only just for more TNA talent, but for other stars from other organizations. It's coming like fast and furious now, the amount of talent that have just become available, or that have made it public that they didn't re-sign. Mark Henry said he was done with AEW, said it publicly. Arn Anderson put out a really great tweet about his time in AEW and how much he enjoyed his time there, but that he wasn't re-signing. Jake Hager's last day was yesterday. So I'm not that this means anything to the WWE, but I just thought it was very telling that these wrestlers are making it very vocal about them not going back to AEW, that they're done.
On me. Sorry, everyone.
No, it's all right. And I don't know why Ricky Starks was trending, but I guess he's someone that folks are waiting for his contract to run out so he can.
Well, they haven't put him on TV since he went to WrestleMania, but Bailey's hanging out with Monet all the time. What's the problem?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that Ricky Starks had to come out on a podcast and say, and just to let everyone know, I'm not hurt. You know, when he hasn't been on TV all years, and it'd be, well, he's probably hurt. And he's had to, I mean, for him to say, I'm not hurt. They're just not using me. I'm not, you know, and we know Tony Khan has a habit of ghosting his talent or just not being in communication with them.
It must be Phil's fault.
Phil said the same thing. After he got hurt, not one person contacted him. After he tore his tricep when he was got hurt the last time, so that's sadly it's modus operandi, but it doesn't bode well for your company if you don't know if you have to tell people the reason why I'm not on TV is because I'm not being used, not because I'm hurt. And I'm sure Ricky doesn't mind the paycheck, but I'm also Ricky wants to earn it too.
Well, sorry, folks. I didn't think that one out too well. Hold on, we're gonna cut to me in a second. I thought I had a better camera angle, but when I pan it, just a big ass shadow from the light. I had it on wrong. Sorry. Let's put that back. Yeah, well, I tried. I don't know. Like, our feelings of Tony Khan aside.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good idea to feed that fire, whether it's a true or not. Not a great idea. Keep your talent. Now we're going from Craig saying, why does he have all this talent signed to, where are they going?
Yeah.
What are we going to do now? Which brings up this next point.
Mm-hmm.
Of a debut last night, which is not a working relationship. This is a man who signed with WWE after leaving AEW. Hold on. Anytime.
It's coming. It's coming.
It's coming. There we go. Boom.
Ouch.
Ouchies. Ethan
Page.
Ego Page is now, which was another, my personal feelings aside, which we won't get into because I'm a nobody and we don't need to hear those. and it didn't have to deal with me directly anyway. It doesn't matter. One of the most popular wrestlers out there, and that popularity is going to get bigger because now he is officially with the WWE and he's in NXT. As you saw right there, attacked Trick Williams from behind. Went back and watched this episode. Man, was it a good one.
Yeah.
And also let me say, even though there is a little bit of a camera shake there, I'm starting to see a lot of people finally come around on the, God, Kevin Dunn was garbage.
And it's really indicative of so many people commenting. I've never heard so many wrestling fans comment on camera angles before. When you realize how effective it is now and how defective it was before, you know, there's such a pronounced difference. And it's the little things, but they add up to a lot. And how each show is being shot, particularly NXT now, it looks like a major league sports show, you know, it's intended. I mean, you could have seen this on ESPN. That's how good it looks, and that's how professional it looks. And with back to Ethan Page, he's starting right off at the top. You know, he's not just coming into AEW and just hey, here's someone debuting with us, or even just we see him in a backstage stuff. He came right out and attacked the biggest name in the company at the end of the show. I mean, it was that's huge. And again, already in just that one little snippet, he's got more exposure than he ever had in AEW. And we always knew, just like with so many other people in AEW, that he got the talent. He checks all the boxes. He looks great. He works great. He can talk. So why not? Why wasn't he being used on AEW, where you need all of that, and where you could have gotten something out of him? And what they did, they saddled him with a stupid gimmick. But now you already know he's going to be used properly in AEW just from that one snippet alone. Again, yeah, Kevin Dunn never would have done this. I was like, what is this, drone footage? That looks incredible. That's
exactly. I was going to say, was it a drone or was it a crane? Because it was amazing. And I don't see a crane. Yeah. I don't see no drone. So that's how good the drone was.
Yeah. But again, just expertly shot. Kevin Dunn would never. And it's kind of like what I hear from the internet wrestling community now. It's like, why couldn't Kevin have left sooner? Just like, you know, with Triple H, why couldn't Vince left sooner? You know, we could have had all this. We could have had so many good stuff like earlier than what we're having now. And my answer is like, we have it now. Don't worry about how soon we could have, you know, what if this, what if that. Just like the Negro League things. Like, oh, it could have been in sooner. Yeah, but they're in now. So.
Yeah, but why does it matter to me? not everything's about you. Yeah. Okay. When it comes to right, just anything. Trans rights, gay rights, civil rights. It's not always about you and how you feel about it. Just pop up thought. Some of these things don't affect me, but you know what? I don't sit there and go, well, how do I feel about it? Nobody cares. Nobody cares how I feel about it. Jesus Christ. Sorry, that just it made me think of that as you were saying it. Look how steady the cam is, man.
Yeah.
Just in general. I'm going to get tagged for these, but I'm not big enough to get sued. So,
great match, too, by the way, between Cody and Logan, which you knew it would be between those guys.
I made the point. I was talking to Mom about this actually, because I was watching. I was kind of rewatching it on mute what I missed while we do our weekly call, Mama needs to talk to her son, and it's the Italian thing. And I was mentioning, explaining Logan Paul thing, and I'm like, I said to her, listen, in the grand scheme of things, he hasn't done shit as bad as some wrestlers have. So when I say this, I hate this man, but his ability, so it doesn't friggin' matter. Like a duck to water. Literally.
Yeah. I haven't seen another athlete take to this since Kurt Angle, someone who was in the realm and just took to it, and not just in the ring, just his interviews, his psychology, even the way he sells, his facial expressions, you know?
Almost like he knows what he's doing. He's probably been watching forever.
Yeah. But yeah,
I remember saying the same thing about Dominic. Not that he was a prodigy right as he began, but I remember the conversation like, "Oh, he's serious. This is not just this kid's gonna wrestle. This kid's gonna be David Flair." No, Dominic was like, "I'm a wrestler." No. Period. Mm-hmm. And to where he was earlier this year. And if he keeps going the way he's going, one of the most hated men, if not the most hated men in the WWE.
And that's what makes him, such great. Because I think had he not been injured, I think we might have seen him in the King of the Ring, or at least have some gold on him at some point. And what makes him such a great heel is that you can beat him. It's like everyone talks about how he hasn't won. Dominic losing isn't going to hurt him whatsoever. Mm-mm. That's what makes such a fantastic heel, and the boos that he continues to get, because when Rhea comes back, it's Dominic who's going to get booed, you know.
Rhea's not getting booed anymore, pal. No.
But yeah, he's another prodigy. When he had a head start, again, like I said on the previous podcast, he was trained by the greatest luchador of all time. And he started early, just like his dad did. And I don't know if you saw the A&E biography on Eddie Guerrero that just aired this past Sunday. But that's a tradition, especially if there's lucha in your family. Rey Mysterio's uncle, Rey Mysterio Sr., got him early into it. And just like Eddie started earlier, first match at 18. Dominic, you know, since birth, and he was already doing angles with his uncle Eddie, you know, when he was six, and till 10.
That reminds me, dude. I saw I forgot to share it, but I saw a picture of, you know, how the old fashioned Eddie and Ray, you've seen it, I'm sure. Who has custody of Dominic, but now he's been photoshopped with a picture of Liv. And I was like, yes. Also, lucky bastard.
God damn it. Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
When they showed the Dominic, the custody of Dominic on the ladder thing between him and Eddie and a young Dominic. And it was when Eddie yelled at him, you know, when Dominic came, ran to the ring and shook the ladder. And he said he knew, and it was his introduction into the biz, because he couldn't understand why Eddie and Ray were going at Ray and his dad were going at it when he just saw them backstage and they hugging and laughing at each other. He said, but when I got in the ring and shook the ladder and Eddie got down and he yelled at me, he screamed at me, I was legitimately scared. He said, I knew he wouldn't hit me, but just the belief that he would. That's when I got it. That's when I got what wrestling is. And so
at that age?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there you go. That answers my question.
Yeah. So Dominic understands psychology. Dominic understands how to sell. Dominic knows better than, you know, than anyone. Again, second generation, how the business works. And he's taken to it like a Logan Paul has, and both of their futures, you know, you can't chart how far they're going to go, because they've they were trained by the best and they worked the best. And unlike Logan, Dominic had great teachers. He had his father, like I said, greatest luchador of all time, and Eddie.
There he is. Oh my God. That's the same guy. Oh man. It's nice to see a story like, hey.
If you could, we can stick it. Right, we can stay. Yeah. We could fast forward to when Eddie goes up to the
ladder. Well, I have to rewind. That was the end.
Okay. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I'll get to it. That's what I was trying. I see the one with Vicky. But I was trying to go back to find the one with Dominic, and it's hard to do when you're also doing a show.
I'm sorry, man. I'll get you. I'll get you that third arm.
Stretch for a second. I got it. Here. Hold on, I'm there.
Okay. Right, I found it. That was my stretch.
There you go. Okay, do your thing.
And when Dominic was, told about this, and he was, okay with it because he just wanted to be with his dad, but he was just told to go get Eddie. When he starts going up the ladder, go get him and just hold the ladder. If you can't reach his leg, just
barely move the damn thing. Cause he's like 30 pounds. Oh, look at that face, dude.
And if you remember the vignettes, when Eddie would go see Dominic at the park and would give him Twizzlers. That was real. Like, that's how they got Dominic to do it. He's like, keep giving you candy.
He was giving him candy. I'll do a lot for candy. There's the screen.
As well, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But when he get, and this is when he got it.
He's eight or nine there.
Yeah.
And I got it. That's when I got it. I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And it took my dad 68 years. I get it. Right. Exactly.
See right there. He's legitimately scared of Eddie because he's never yelled at him like that before. And he's, like he said, he knew Eddie wasn't going to hit him, but he had never seen it. But he still felt. Because Dominic hasn't been included on any of this. He doesn't. Yeah. He wasn't told the winner. He wasn't told. He was just told when Eddie goes up the ladder, you
stop him.
You shake it. Yeah, you stop.
Shake the ladder. And he remembered it more than Kerry Von Erich ever remembered anything.
So what was that finish again, Rick?
Call back.
So we're gonna do a backslide, Kerry, because even you can't fuck that up.
I almost did.
Yeah.
Sir, do you have any history to give out to the folks on this unexpected, well, technically expected, but also unexpected episode? And if you don't, that's cool too, because I got a lawn to mow.
I've got so much history that happened on this very day in wrestling history, Dan. Ooh. Oh, man. We're going to go back, folks, to show you how far wrestling has come. To what we are now. May 29th was a landmark day in professional wrestling. Yeah. When we talk about, we started this segment talking about a TNA champion coming to NXT in the WWE. Mm-hmm. We talked about an AEW wrestler showing up on WWE and how shocked we are and how that makes news and how it's trending on Twitter and everything, where back in the day, folks, it was commonplace to have champions from other federations coming to another federation to defend their title. And because it wasn't about clicks and it wasn't about it, it was for the fans. Such a thing happened today in wrestling history, May 29th, 1977, in Houston, Texas. A card put together by Paul Bosch, and it wasn't a Super Bowl. It wasn't advertised as a colossal tussle. It wasn't advertised as a WrestleMania type event. It was May 29th at the Sam Houston Coliseum. And on this card that Paul Bosch put together with the cooperation in agreement with other promotions heads, you had Mike Velasquez York, going against the WWWF Heavyweight Champion Superstar Billy Graham.
Oof.
You had the AWA Heavyweight Champion Nick Bockwinkle going up against Jose Lothario. Because of a plane delay, Terry Funk's match was changed. Terry Funk was supposed to wrestle the NWA Heavyweight Champion Harley Race. But because of that, Nick Bockwinkle, the AWA champion, pulled double duty and wrestled Terry Funk to a 30-minute draw.
Whoa.
So on that one card, you could have the WWF champion, the NWA champion, and the AWA champion all on the same card. Again, it wasn't a Super Bowl. It was just something that you would see. And again, if not for the plane delay, Harley Race, the NWA champion, couldn't make it. But the AWA champion, Nick Bockwinkle, wrestled twice in Texas, along with the WWF Heavyweight Champion Superstar Billy Graham, all on the same card. Such a thing would be commonplace. It wouldn't happen a lot, but in towns like St. Louis, Toronto, and in Florida, you could see the NWA champion, the WWF champion, or the AWA champion all on the same card. And that happened today in 1977. Staying on that same tone, 7 years later, May 29th, 1984, the first ever NWA Night of Champions in the Meadowlands Arena. This was the NWA's maiden voyage in the Northeast. First time they had wrestled in quote-unquote WWF territory. They brought out all the big guns. Now, this, unlike the card in Houston, this was advertised and called the Night of Champions because you had wrestlers from Georgia Championship Wrestling, the Mid-Atlantic, Puerto Rico, all on the same card. The National Heavyweight Champion, Ronnie Garvin, defeated Jake the Snake Roberts. The National Tag Team Champions, the Road Warriors, defeated Jimmy Valiant and King Kong Bundy, that makeshift team. The WWC champion, Carlos Colon, defeated the NWA television champion, Tully Blanchard. And for the first time, north of the Mason-Dixon line, the United States champion, Ricky Steamboat, took on his arch nemesis, the NWA heavyweight champion, Ric Flair.
What timing, man!
38 minutes did they go in their first time ever in the Northeast.
Craig hitting his post, and I didn't even tell him I was pulling the footage up. Boom.
Boom.
There it is. For those who are listening, if you go to our YouTube page, or if you're watching us live, I have the ability to bring up footage now, and it makes the show, you know, watchable, because no people want to see Craig and wrestling, not my face. So, running down the card, I brought up the only thing I could find, which was the commercial for that show. And right as he was mentioning north of the Mason-Dixon line, it was Ricky versus Rick. Boom. That part of the commercial. I couldn't even try. And that's people who listen to WMMR all the time. We hit our post, Preston.
Damn it. Not less than 10 years later, 10 years to the day, Dan, we went from May 29th, 1984, all these great territories coming together under the NWA banner, Georgia, Mid-Atlantic, Puerto Rico. Well, 10 years later, 10 years to the day, May 29th, 1994, millionaire Ted Turner would buy World Championship Wrestling from Jim Crockett and would change the course of professional wrestling forever. 30 years ago today, Dan, the sale happened. And Ted Turner, overjoyed at the sale of his purchase of World Championship Wrestling from Jim Crockett, called Vince McMahon, said, "Vince, I'm in the wrestling business." Vince replied, "Well, congratulations, Ted. I'm in the entertainment business." And no true words were ever spoken.
Yeah, I mean, he's not. Yeah.
not wrong, but it was 30 years ago today, Dan, that WCW was bought by Ted Turner.
Hold on. I want to get to my face for this one. And it was the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
Am I technically not wrong?
You're not wrong because it only took 6 years later, Dan, that statement would bear fruit because May 29th, 2000, 24 years ago today, Dan, the WCW heavyweight champion Kevin Nash would hand his title to Ric Flair. Just hand it to him. Ric Flair had been stripped a week earlier. So Kevin Nash would hand him the belt, and Flair would go on to lose that belt, the WCW belt, later on that night to Jeff Jarrett. But that would make it, that change would make 11 times in 7 weeks that the WCW Heavyweight Championship changed hands. And six separate times it had been declared vacant. Six times in 7 weeks.
Ugh.
Yeah. And with 24 years ago today.
How did we watch this crap?
May 29th, 2000.
I mean, I watched this to the end.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. God, fuck you, Vince Russo. If I haven't been clear about that before, fuck you, Vince Russo. Fuck you.
That hastened the demise. You
illiterate motherfucker.
One might say that Ted Turner buying WCW would hasten the end of professional wrestling. Well, Vince Russo just put it on an express train.
No, he's a good bullet guy. Train. Yeah, okay.
He's not.
And when I try to when I think about giving him the benefit of the doubt, I think of Owen and all the other shit. And I'm like, nah, fuck this guy. I don't care. Yeah, and him and Glenn Gilberti can both swallow my spum. You're a nobody. They can still swallow my spum. That's how I feel about it. I don't care if they care.
Yeah. The spum's still good.
I care. That's why I said it.
Yeah.
It still works. Yum, yum, yum.
Also on this very date, I said it's a busy day in wrestling history. a lot of people born on this day. May 29th, happy 36th birthday to Ridge Holland, a guy I always thought they should have done more with, and they can still do something with. He's only 36, but
yeah, really.
No longer part of the Brawling Brutes, thank God, but happy birthday to Ridge Holland. Happy 61st birthday to the first son of Afa, the Samoan. Happy 61st birthday to Samu, one half of the Samoan SWAT team, later the Head Shrinkers. A lengthy career in the WWE. Happy 61st birthday to him. Happy birthday to the king of old school. Steve Corino turns 51 today. Happy birthday to Dylan Mark Postal. Great name, but yeah. you would know him better as Hornswoggle. Happy 38th.
Good guy.
Yeah. Dylan Mark Postal, not Postal like the, but his last name is spelled P-O-S-T-L. But 38 turns 38 today.
If there was ever a man, he's younger than me.
Yeah.
If there was ever a man who got it, it's Hornswoggle. We got it.
You know, and so many other names he had. The little bastard. Remember he was
McMahon's kid.
McMahon. Yeah, called him McMahon for a while. And then he was AJ Swoggle, I think, when he changed his name when he went to TNA. But yeah, happy 38th birthday.
I forgot him in DX, though.
Yeah.
That was good. Shit.
And happy And to a guy, I think he's got the brightest future out of all the birthdays today. Happy 29th birthday to Kinosuke Takeshita. Not take a shit, but Kinosuke Takeshita.
God damn you.
but another person who's complained about his booking. Here's a guy that he's got everything. Checks all the boxes, looks great, wrestles great, work great. You get him a manager. He's in my top five, but if you put a Kinosuke Takeshita with a Gary Hart, my God, that's a license to print money. You put that guy with a manager who can talk, who can get the best out of him, you push that guy to the moon, and you'd have a mint. Again, only turns 29 today. Whether or not we will see him as we're recording this, it's Wednesday night. Seeing him on AEW would be welcome. Having him in the main event picture would be welcome because, again, he's someone that you can get a lot out of. But 29, so they haven't ruined him all the way yet, so there's still time for him to go to a proper organization to give him a proper push. Speaking of push, final birthday today, turning 40 years old today, the brand new Queen of the Ring, Nia Jax.
That was a great show too, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
It's a terrible time to bring it up, but there was something about the Becky Lynch match. Yeah. I don't know if somebody was hurt or if timing was just off. It's not like it was like the worst thing I ever saw, but I have to go back and watch it again. Maybe it was just the crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just didn't seem like everybody was invested. Damn. Sorry, what?
Didn't think everyone was invested in the match with Liv?
I have to rewatch it. My point is, what I'm trying to say is I don't think it was them. I don't think anybody there cared, and fuck, shame on you.
Yeah. I guess people were thinking because, you know, Becky's contract was up, but this is going to be her last match with WWE ever. And because she took a long time getting out of the ring and she was, you know, waving to the crowd. I'm saying it, and I've said it before, even with everyone whose contract in WWE is coming up, she ain't going fucking anywhere. At this point, if this is her last match, it's only because she was scheduled to go on vacation after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And the reason why she was champion in the first place is because Rhea got hurt. So she and Seth were both supposed to be gone.
Logic.
Yeah. After WrestleMania. But now that they had to pivot, Rhea got hurt. You put the belt on Liv and you already have Rhea and Liv anyway. That was what the next program was going to be. So Becky was, in the vein of Ivan Koloff and Stan Stasiak, a transitional champion. So she's, the whole plan was, again, the plan was for her and Seth to fade off and to go on vacation after WrestleMania. Seth got his wish, and now this will be Becky's turn. But for everyone saying Becky Lynch, or they're using her real name, Rebecca something, is
Rebecca
all
Quinn.
In. Yeah, Rebecca Quinn's all in AEW. It's not happening, folks.
Hypothetically.
Not by any means, yes.
Not doing the devil's advocate thing. I just... Mm-hmm. Not that, even after all that we've said, not that I would begrudge anybody going to AEW, because I don't. And I'll preface this by the thing I've prefaced 4,000 times, I want them to be good, and I want them to be successful. There's no question. That's why I still watch. It's not the name that you watch. It's the talent.
Right.
It's like, I just watch the MLB. Shut up. No, you don't. I just like Major League Baseball. No, you don't. That's why they're trying to speed up the game. No, nobody does. if you're Becky Lynch,
mm-hmm.
Miss Quinn, ma'am, if you're seeing all these people coming over, would you even consider it in the first place? Maybe Sasha, maybe with Mercedes Moné, which that was fantastic. The Mercedes and Willow, I am not happy with Willow not being TBS champ anymore, but that match was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, crazy, like, oh my God, it was fantastic. I don't know why anybody thought any different. It was nice to see people go, oh, I saw way too many tweets, but oh, wait, Sasha can wrestle? The fuck are you talking about?
She always could. You've
been watching. Okay. It was just nice to see, even though it was, you know, validation like that. I was like, yeah, that's what we've been saying for. Okay. But that match was great.
It was.
For a 7-hour show, it had to be.
It better be.
We're not talking about that. Anyway, do your thing. I'm sorry.
No, I don't see the benefit of. I don't see how it benefits her, Becky. Rebecca Quinn, to go to AEW. Now, she can't use her name. And she really, there is really nothing for her there that she couldn't get here. So I don't know why. And even I can't even say it would be a money grab, because I think even if Tony can pay her more, why would that be a motivation when you got paid handsomely and will still be paid handsomely in the WWE, and you're already figured in. So I don't know why it would be the benefit of anyone to go to AEW at this stage, especially as someone at this stage in Becky's career. If she was starting out, if she was a younger wrestler and exposure, then yeah, AEW would be a great place to start. But if I would counter that with, well, then go to NXT, because all these great wrestlers, especially the great female wrestlers, the reason why they are great now, like Mercedes, like Becky, like Bayley, like Charlotte, like Rhea, like Liv, because they all started in NXT. That's where you go to learn. That's where you go to NXT first in order to get on national television, to train you to get on national television. In AEW, they just put you on national TV, whether you've been trained for it or not. They don't have a farm system in AEW. Then that's my knock. That's always been my knock on them. That sure. they'll put folks on national TV before they're ready. And that's results in lots of injuries and lots of other things. But yeah, but my original point was to anyone listening, that's not Becky Lynch's last. You didn't just see Becky Lynch's last ever match in the WWE. Becky Lynch was scheduled to go on vacation after WrestleMania. They had to pivot. She has a young child she hasn't seen, and she only stayed because of Rhea's injury. If Rhea was not hurt, there would be no Becky Lynch in WWE right now, because Rhea would still be dominating and be in a program with Liv.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at you. I just was showing, you know, for those again who are not watching, you should. Was showing footage of the night Becky Lynch became the man, I guess we'll call it.
Yeah.
Or it is called. Two things occurred to me. I liked Alexa Bliss just slipping out of the bottom of the rope, getting the hell out of there. I don't remember that. She's like, whoop, she dipped. And two, the camera direction. We're just talking about it like an hour ago.
I'm already having a seizure. Well, speaking of returns and like that, I think the last thing we could talk about, speaking of AEW, the return of MJF or Triple Jeff.
Yes. Triple Jeff. Hey, man, to add to what I just said about the other way around, By the way, can you end your segment? Because I wouldn't feel right if you didn't end your segment.
And that, gentlemen and ladies, is the Wrestling Historian.
Thank you. I felt weird there for a second. to go the other way with it, man, if that's where he's happy and that's where he wants to apply his craft, more power to him. I want more bad MJF. I don't want fan MJF. Now, it doesn't matter what I want. I'm just sharing my thoughts of this. I don't want tweener MJF. No. I want badass motherfucker MJF who everybody hates. That is the best MJF. We don't need face MJF. Never did. You certainly don't now. So please give me that.
I think he alluded to that in his return promo, which was excellent, by the way. But the hard part now, the uphill battle now, though, Dan, is how to get the fans to boo the most popular wrestler in the company.
Well, yeah.
That's the thing.
Well, you start with Adam Cole, which kind of, you know, you kind of did. But I don't know. That's not my job to figure the goddamn to figure the fuck out. That's why I'm watching.
Yeah, me too. I will say that this is that MJF return is the single best thing that could happen to AEW right now, since they're hemorrhaging viewers. Their product is terrible. So having him back and not going to the WWE is the single best thing that could happen to AEW, because they have no stars. They have zero stars. Nothing against Swerve, nothing against Joe.
Yeah, it's not their fault.
No, and the people that get over on their own, they bury, or they book horribly, like a Ricky Starks or like a Wardlow, or guys that you have that are right there, ready, already made stars that you can just let them go and just you can make a ton off of, like a Jay Lethal or a Mark Briscoe. They drop the ball on. I've said it on this podcast ad nauseum. So MJ, he's the what Princess Leia was talking about. Your only hope. He's AEW's only hope of getting above 700,000 viewers a week and staying there.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They got to put him on TV every week, every week, every single fucking week. Every I said show. That when he first started.
Just like this.
Yes. There's no way that this guy should not be on TV every week. And everyone I'm watching for early ends of AEW, I see him in a match and then nothing for a month. I was like, why the fuck isn't this guy? Just give him a 2-minute segment every week. He doesn't even have to wrestle.
It just has to be Ric Flair and NWA Saturday Night Days.
Yeah.
Stand at a desk. Talk shit. Walk away.
Exactly. And Piper's Pit. Piper wrestled. You can count on one hand how many times Piper wrestled on TV. But
in a year.
Exactly. But Piper's Pit kept him on. It kept him the number one heel in the company. And if you saw him wrestle, you paid to see him wrestle. Because he'd only wrestle on house shows. So it's really simple. But yeah, so I'm watching AEW tonight just to see how and if they screw this up.
I don't. Please don't.
No.
Breathe. Think for a second. Hey, man, go out there and just talk some shit. Do it the dusty way.
Yeah.
I need you to get to this point, and this point. You got 10 minutes. Bye.
Bye.
See you later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's it. All you
That's
need.
It. That's all you need. Hey, Dan, don't you have a lawn to mow?
Unfortunately. I guess that's my cue. Sorry, I was watching Philly's highlights, and everybody was worried.
Yeah, we finally got it. Yeah. We've lost three in a row. It's over.
Jesus Christ. I don't want to get political on here. Did I miss a verdict today, or
no? They're gonna they started deliberations today. I said Friday. I think they would have it Friday, but
I don't think they're gonna wait till Friday.
Okay, I'd love to have it tomorrow. I thought we would have it today since they had a 4-hour prosecution, had a 4-hour closing argument. Yeah. So I would thought the jury was in a hurry to get this done. Not to just
this is a libtard show, folks. By the way, just to give you a heads up if you were thinking otherwise. It's not. I mean, I'm not a liberal, but I've been called it so many times. I'm like, yeah, all right, sure.
But I want
liberal means I just want, you know, people to be nice to each other and have the same rights. Yeah, I guess I'm liberal. Whatever.
I guess. Yeah. Because I'm anti-fascist. I guess that means me Antifa. Yeah.
I don't like fascism. I'm so sorry. I read all those books outside of school. But, my bad.
But what I want to know from all the maggots, because he came out and said that Mother Teresa couldn't win this case. It's all rigged. It's all fake and everything like that. If.
Terrible example.
Yeah. But if he's found not guilty, does that mean it's not rigged? Is it still rigged if he's found not guilty? Is the judge still, you know, on the take if he's not guilty? Would you then believe in the legal process? Would that make it easier for you to go to your next two trials? But because he's got two more trials coming up, folks. Just, you know, if you're keeping score,
he's going to be tied up.
Yeah, we still got Washington D.C. and Georgia to deal with. So, yeah, I expect a verdict sometime tomorrow. I'm not, and good. Yeah, hoping not Friday, but yes, it's coming.
Not that he lived long enough to see himself become the villain he always was. like Chris Jericho.
Yes.
Chris Jericho in wrestling is today what he was combating against when I was 15.
Yeah.
I'm 40. We're both old. And fucking, just like Richard Dreyfuss. your hero, you're in Jaws.
Yeah.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Another Stakeout. Fuck you. That's a good movie. Greg, other people.
Yeah, he's Moon Over Parador. Yeah.
And then he shows up, makes his. Who the fuck asked him?
Yeah. And Dennis Quaid, too.
Who the fuck asked him? Hmm.
I guess because he's playing Reagan, he thinks he's got some political clout now.
Who's playing Reagan?
Dennis Quaid.
Spoiler alert, he died. Yes! Fuck it, we're good. We're going out on that. By the way, trickle down didn't work. Hey, Craig, where can people follow
you? They can follow me and my love of Negro League Baseball on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and
Woke
Threads. And my woke ass at Craig Ligon, CRAIGLIGGEONS.
Why do you care about the Negro Leagues?
I don't know.
Hey, man. I don't know.
Yeah. My mom saw Jackie Robinson play his first game in Philadelphia, and.
What does it matter? Why does it matter to me? you know why it matters to me? Because it matters to you.
Thank you.
And I'm not a complete twat. People can follow me being a complete twat to other twats. No one knows a twat like a twat. DanLaw83 on all social media platforms. Talking 215 podcast. I do production and social media management for the new HIAC Talk Radio Network. Logo and trailer is up, which I'm not here to toot my own horn, but I even got past the copyright because nobody listened to that album. Find it all HICTalkRadio.com. For Craig Ligon's, I am the above average comedian Dan Colachico. We're going back to it, folks. Keep it on the paper.